Good morning. We're so glad that you've tuned in. We're all living through some very challenging times right now, but these challenging times provide some unique opportunities. And one of those unique opportunities is that five pastors in our community, who each pastor various congregations from various streams, that are also great friends. We do lots of community ministry together. But today we get to do something we don't get to do very often. We get to preach a sermon together. And so we're going to team preach today. And this is the first time I've been able to get with you guys for a Sunday service and team preach. And so I'm excited about that today. And we just appreciate just the opportunity to come into your home today and to be part of your Sunday worship experience. And I want to introduce my colleagues. My name is Wendell Vincent. I pastor Canyon Hills Church here in Bakersfield. And my friend Saul Gonzalez, who pastors Lifehouse Church here in Bakersfield. Pastor Antonio Alfred, who pastors St. John's Missionary Baptist Church. Great churches. My friend Pastor Andy Prince, who pastors Grace Baptist Church here in Bakersfield. And my good friend David Goh, who pastors The Garden. And all of these are colleagues, all of these are great friends, and we're excited to be able to share God's word together today. And before we get started, though, I want to mention, other than David and I, the three other pastors here, your haircuts look much fresher than Dave or I. So I'm worried about you guys and the possibility of civil disobedience here, that you guys maybe are taking another route. But we're glad that we all get to be together today. And welcome, friends. You know, we're in an amazing time here as church leaders, because over the last 3 months, we've had some interesting complexities added to the whole role of pastoring people and leading people. And all of us have felt that to some degree or another. We've had to find new ways to connect with all of our people. Man, that's been challenging, because we're so used to just connecting with people in gatherings, and now we can't gather. We've had to find new ways to care for our people, because it's more challenging when you're not meeting regularly to stay on top of everyone and their needs and what's going on in their lives. And so we've learned to use the telephone a lot more, and it's just been challenging in lots of ways. And then not to mention, there are numerous needs that have emerged in our community that have been unique, that we've had to all respond to in one way or another. But one of the most troubling aspects of all of this is how right now in our country, a very real crisis is now becoming so politicized. I think if I were to describe the greatest angst I feel right now, it's that, you know, a crisis we know is real and significant is becoming so polarizing in our world and in our nation. And it just seems that people are being forced in many ways to pick sides. And that's such an awkward thing as it relates to, you know, how we move forward as a community, even more so how we move forward as a state, the state of California, how we move forward as a nation. It's become very, very political. And, you know, even in our churches, I'm just keenly aware right now that there are different perspectives around the whole issue and the kind of the season that we're walking through right now. There are many who understandably seem almost solely focused on the priority of health and safety. And I find that a lot of those are people maybe that are in the medical profession, or for whatever reason, that's their priority. I think about many who understandably are focused on the issues of civil liberty and especially religious freedom. And so, you know, I'm getting a lot of calls and texts saying, hey, you know, we need to stand up to all of this. And then I think about the small business person, the person who's been greatly impacted economically. And in all of our congregations, we have men and women who've they've poured out their lives. They've given their lives to build their business or, their company. And now they're really faced with some really tough decisions. Some of them are having to downsize and lay off employees. And really, they're at risk, some of them, of, you know, they're concerned about even losing their businesses or having to close their businesses. And so I think if there was one thing that all of us, and I know I can speak for my friends as well here today, want you to know is that we get it. We really do get it. We understand that there are different perspectives. We understand today that each of these issues are deeply concerning, not only for you, but honestly for us. And even our gathering today to do this together has come out of some both soul searching and then hard conversations together about how do we lead our community forward through this season and through this time. And we're looking today at Romans 12 and Romans 13. And this is a passage where the Apostle Paul talks about the importance of choosing honor. And we would like you to get your Bibles and just open them up to Romans 12 and Romans 13. And the reason we want to talk about this today is because of all the things that may be happening right now in our world and the fragmentation and the the politicizing of everything, and the division because of just different agendas, what can't happen and what none of us should allow to happen is for the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, to be divided. It is an important time to understand how do we go forward with so many different views, thoughts, opinions, so many talking heads, so many voices on television and all the different media forms. How do we go forward and not allow ourselves to be fragmented as the body of Christ or as a church? It's an important time for God's people to push through this with a sense of resolve. And there's a biblical principle in Romans 12 that we're going to focus on today, and it's that principle of honor. All of us really took a few days, prayed about it, had lots of conversations, and out of those conversations, this theme of honor, choosing honor, began to emerge. And so we just want to teach on that today, that we want to be people who choose honor. We choose honor. As pastors, we want to be pastors that choose to walk honorably and to live with honor. So Pastor Saul, would you just kind of begin and launch us into chapter 12 as we talk about honor today?
Amen, amen. Of all the honor that someone can bestow someone or anyone, the honor toward God is the most fundamental. Amen. That is the foundation of all every other honor that has its day. And we want to talk about what one of the definitions of honor that I really enjoyed is that the word honor means to prize, to esteem highly, with great respect, devotion, and awe, and value both God and others. God and others. And so I want to take just a few minutes to talk about honoring God. First and foremost is the foundation and the source, the fear of God, the honoring of God, the respecting of God, the worship of God. And Paul here in the 12th chapter begins saying, I beg you, I beseech you, I implore you, I plea or I urge you, my brothers and sisters, to present your bodies, to bring your spirit, soul, and body as a way to honor God and as the highest form of worship. When it's all said and done, honor is both vertical, if it's going to mean anything, and horizontal. Vertical first from God to us and then from us to others. If it's going to be meaningful, if it's going to make a difference, if God is going to use the church, then the church has to lead with integrity, with honor. The Apostle Paul in this 12th chapter hones in, he lays the gauntlet of sorts, and with a desperate plea, he says, therefore I urge you, I plea with you, I beg you, he says in another version, I implore you, my brothers and sisters, that in view of God's mercy, that when you take God's mercy into account, what mercy? Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, and 10, and 11 of Romans. Powerful. Every chapter lays the foundation of God's mercy. And those 11th chapters that are precedent and predicate this 12th verses, this 12th chapter, he says, in view of God's mercy, I beg you and I urge you to offer your bodies. And with this body comes a spirit and a soul with this body. So we're all spirit with a soul in a body. So all of us, we're a spirit first with a soul, with feelings, with intellect, with emotions in a body. And he says, bring it all. Bring your body and bring it everything. Just bring it and as a sacrifice, have it be living. It's got to be holy and acceptable. And when you do that, it is the highest form of worship. For that is your reasonable. It is your spiritual exercise of your highest form of worship. And so I just want to share what makes our choices matter and then kind of pass the baton off to here in this conversation that we collectively, as the church pastors and ministers, we discuss that we choose to honor. Amen. And this honor is what we're missing today with this in many, many ways in our conversations where people are crossing lines, disrespecting each other. They have different views, and we're going to be sharing about, you know, just about what that means. And that true honor begins by acknowledging that God is the source of honor and what makes us bound to be men and women of honor. And we make our choices, someone said, and then our choices make us. And that our character and choices are inseparable from each other. J.K. Rollins asserted that it is our choices that show that we are truly what we truly are, far more than our abilities, far more than our abilities. So when we choose to honor God, we are choosing to honor His word, His will, and His way for our lives. And honor will take and elevate us to places where even our talents and gifts will never be able to take us. So honor will elevate. So for a lot of young men here, just the young church, that you can't wait to get going. You can't wait to maybe put somebody aside. Maybe you're competitive, you're comparing, you are complaining, and you don't honor your parents. You don't honor those in authority. And I'm getting into somebody else's message, but you're in trouble because honor will take you and elevate you to where your gifts and your greatest talents and your intellect will never be able to take you, where honor, God will lift you. God will exalt you. God will promote you, because those that honor God, God honors in return. We find in the Bible that where there is honor, rewards and promotions follow. Where there's honor, rewards and promotions follow. Where there was dishonor in Scripture, anguish, despair, and destruction were the fruit of dishonor. So we see when Abraham or Noah honored God, Abraham honored God and trusted God. Joseph honored God when he was faced with temptation with Potiphar's wife. He honored God. Esther honored God. She could have sat down. She could have played it cool, but she had to stand up. She could no longer sit comfortably. She had to stand up in the gap, and she honored Mordecai's plea. He says, do it or a breath and deliverance will come from somewhere else. And she stood up and said, if I perish, I perish. And in doing so, she was honoring God. Ruth honored God by honoring Naomi. She honored and says, well, your people will be my people. Your grave will be right there, right beside mine, because ultimately your God will be my God. Daniel honored God in facing with his culture. Paul, and what we find in Scripture, that those that honor God, God honored in return. God blessed, and then God exalted them.
You know, as you talked about that vertical relationship, we see that what flows out is the horizontal relationship. As we honor God, then we have to begin to honor, as you talked about, those covenantal relationships. And I think it begins with believers. Other believers is where we have to choose to honor next. And, you know, in verse 3 of chapter 12, it says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. And, you know, I think that's important that we need to check our pride. You know, talk about that renewed thinking. But, you know, we tend to think of ourselves as always thinking right. And we time to try to, we tend to believe that everybody else is wrong. And so therefore we don't really listen to people. We're just always trying to convince them. And so we don't build relationships with people. And then we become isolated because we think we can do it on our own. And he says here, we need sober judgment. We need to think soundly. And we need to come to the place where that literally means we need to have self-control over our desires and passion. And I think we have to check ourselves and say, you know what? I need to realize this truth, that I need other people. And I need the body of Christ. And I need to realize that I, as a Christian, also need to receive from others. And so I need to honor them because they have a contribution to be able to make. And in verse 4, it says, "For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them." And then he goes on and he shares some of the different gifts and how they're used. And, you know, there's two things that really hit me as I thought about that. One is I think that we need to honor each other churches as Christians. And so many times we get focused on building our castle that we forget that this is about God's kingdom. And so we need to come to the place where we realize that we need to honor one another because the contribution that you are making in your neighborhood and with those people, that is making an eternal difference. And God is doing that. And so that needs to there needs to be honor given no matter what that church is like, whether it's different than ours or whether it has a different denomination or a different size. And that's sort of what I love about this morning. And today, as we're doing this, that, you know, we have different denominations here, different ethnicities. Let's be honest, we have different views on certain doctrines. We have different philosophies of ministry. But you know something? We have a belief here that God can do more through us together than we can do by ourselves. And so we honor one another. And, you know, that hasn't come easy. It's taken time to build relationships with each other. It's taken time for us to be able to pray with one another. It's taken time to be able to truly listen and to be able to trust. But as you know, as we have been able to do that, God has been able to do the greater things. And, you know, there is a danger when we think about the ecumenical movement. Because there has been some that have gotten together and there's been compromise and the lost of the gospel. But I think we also realize that there is a true danger when we isolate ourselves and we don't come to the place where we learn to honor and to be able to work together. And what I've realized is that, you know, in this time of this COVID-19, I don't feel isolated because I've had you guys to be able to talk about the challenges that we have faced and to realize, you know, there is this tension that we're all feeling. We all want to start now. We also realize the dangers and how do we balance all of this? And it's been comforting that we've been able to come together and to talk about it and to be able to pray together and to honor one another. And we realize that, you know, there's going to be some sister churches that are going to start before we do. There's going to be churches that choose to decide to start after we do. In fact, I don't think we're all probably going to start on the same day.
Come on.
You know, maybe. But you know what's neat is that we respect one another. Yeah, that's good. And that's something that we have to do with each other and realize that diversity is okay and that unity and honoring is not saying we're all uniform, but that we respect the diversity, but we are unified in this, that we love one another and we appreciate what each one is contributing to the kingdom of God. And so I think that we look at honoring churches, but I think inside of a church, that church needs to make sure that each believer is honoring the other believers inside of that church. And, you know, when we think about this COVID-19, there's going to be some, when we open up, they're going to be there knocking on the door ready to come in. And there's going to be others who are going to be a lot more tentative. And they're not going to be there. And it could be months before they come back. And, you know, as believers, we need to be able to say, we honor the decision that you are making as you are praying and you are with the Lord. And so whether you're eager to be there the first Sunday or whether you're going to have the wait and see approach or whether it's going to be, I'm going to be very cautious. You know, as believers, we need to honor one another as we go through this. And, you know, there was a Dutch bicycle manufacturer named Van Moof. And in 2020, they decided that they were going to try to move to more online sales. But as they were sending out their bikes, they were coming back damaged in the boxes. And so they were either going to have to rethink how they were going to be able to get more sales or do something. And so someone came up with the idea, since their box looked like a flat screen TV, to put the flat screen TV image on the box and then inside of that TV show the bicycle. And when they did that, they had 70 to 80% less returns because everybody thought that it was fragile. And so they honored what was in the box. And, you know, we need to remember that as fellow believers, we're all created in the image of God. And so we need to honor that. But we also need to remember that on that box, there's an extreme value imprinted upon us, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And because he died and he rose again and he gave us salvation, there's a price there. And so let's make sure that we honor one another. And so sometimes it's difficult as we work at honoring, you know, inside fellow believers, but it can be extremely difficult to honor those who are outside of our faith. And that's why I love turning it over to my friend David Goh with the garden to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think it's so profound to me that what you're the verses that you've been going through, Andy, about just honoring our diversity. That's right, really why we're here. It's so important to me that this is not a show of honor, as though we're putting on a show. We just met backstage and we were recruited to have the right sort of look on stage. But this is honor on display. It's what's happening privately and what happens when we just work behind the scenes on so much, the genuine friendships. I think I've reached out to all of you on different personal issues or major church decision issues and sought wise counsel, for that. And, you know, we are from all different denominations. We're all from different ethnicities. And, you know, I just want to say on behalf of the global Asian majority, I'm delighted to share the stage with my minority brothers, you know, here today. And we're one in Christ. As Paul develops this chapter, but he continues to raise the stakes on what honor is and the price of truly being honorable. And he goes on in verse 14, and this is what he writes to the church. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lonely. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought. You have to think about it. It has to be a choice. Give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul calls in the middle of this paragraph, give thought to do what is honorable. And so this paragraph begins with persecution. It ends with a description of enemies and vengeance. And in the middle of that,
Paul gives us command in verse 17, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And so pretty quickly we learn that honor is not simply being polite to polite people or exchanging compliments in a mutual admiration society. Honor is not a response to you giving me honor. Rather, we have to give thought. It's a choice. It takes a bit of thinking sometimes and processing to do what is honorable. And it's a choice that is actually made more difficult, but it's actually then more meaningful when we honor in the midst of disagreement. We choose to honor when we disagree. And this is one way we are not conformed to this world. Paul then picks up an interesting image here, is that he chooses a musical term, harmony, to describe becoming of one mind and intention, even though having different points of view. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. So melody is when it's me singing all by myself. And harmony is but my voice forming a chord with others who are singing different notes. Being haughty is me singing my note louder than all of yours. But finding harmony is when we blend our voices in balance. All of us being heard, but all of us also sounding in balance. And, you know, those of us who have been involved in music, we know that it's actually dissonance which creates interest and emotion in music. And the tension and the feeling when frequencies are out of sync with each other, it actually is a form of beauty in music. There's a beauty in dissonance, and it is dissonance then that makes that resolving chord at the end all the more sweet and longed for. When people openly disagree with us, and we can still end on the same chord, together honoring God and honoring each other, I believe that it displays a beauty of the cross of Jesus Christ that is richer than just being in immediate agreement or thinking the same thing when we start. And could it be that those who most strongly disagree with how my particular church approaches things, whether in the style of worship or in the style of prayer or in its interpretation of scripture or the manner it does community together or even the timetable to reopen from COVID-19 restrictions, could it be that all of that seeming disagreement is part of how God is making harmony to resolve us in the end and to say, above all, we're honoring God, and we're honoring each other, even as we sound our own note in this process. Powerful, but difficult to choose to honor when we disagree. But Paul's not done yet raising the tension, because he goes on, you know, this paragraph begins, bless those who persecute you, not just mildly disagree with you, but those who actually turn their disagreement into a form of hostility towards us, bless them and do not curse. You know, many think that Romans was written, all the great theological chapters that lead up to chapter 12, but it's written to bring together opposing factions within the church in Rome, particularly the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. And Jewish Christians had planted the church in Rome following the day of Pentecost, and they were the ones who then turned to their Gentile neighbors and invited them in. But then when the Emperor Claudius expelled all the Jews, including Jewish Christians, from Rome in AD 49, then those Gentiles that they had invited into the church became the leaders, became the cultural setters, the theological framers of the church, and sort of took over leadership. Meanwhile, the Jewish Christians, with all the Jews that had been expelled, they're like refugees. They lost everything. Can you imagine what you and your family would go through to lose your home and your business and you know, your cultural surroundings and be expelled out into the empire? How deeply that impresses your conscience and the pain and the loss and the grief that they experience. 5 years later, when a new emperor allows the Jews to return to Rome, I just think of the Jewish Christians then re-entering these churches that they planted and had invited the Gentiles in, probably expecting to be honored as, hey, mom and dad are back, take over the head of the table. But that really was not what happened, was that the Gentile Christians had sort of gotten used to being in charge, setting the culture, being in leadership. And there was deep pain and division there in the church, tension, hurt. For the Jewish Christians that were in the church, there, it was recent memory about being persecuted by Gentiles. And so when Paul writes to them in this letter, bless those who persecute you, it's not some story. It's something that is hurting right now in their heart. But Paul invites them to overcome evil, and that the division that is threatening the church is evil, and also the persecution brought upon them by society was evil. But Paul says this is how you overcome that evil. Don't give in to your hurt. Don't return the curse. Don't rise up in hostility, but actually show radical acts of honor and kindness. And that way, good overcomes evil. You know, in the challenges of this season, God is calling us to choose to honor when we disagree, even to choose to be honorable when people don't treat us with honor. And we know right now there are fully devoted Christians passionately on opposite sides of a question like the value of a face mask or how serious this disease is, how helpful guidelines are. But will we choose to honor those? And even when their tone turns hostile towards us, will we still choose to say, our goal is to see good triumph, and so I'm going to hold back my natural response? It's a radical type of honor to feed and refresh an enemy who's been trying to kill you. It's so difficult for me. You guys are so much more spiritually advanced than me. But it's so difficult for me not to defend my honor or the honor of my church or the honor of my way of thinking when it is not simply disagreed with, but it's attacked on Facebook. But to respond to dishonor with dishonor only multiplies dishonor. And that is not the way of Christ. Christ broke that cycle that humanity was trapped in because he said, like you said, Saul, he says, I honor you. I find value in you. I see good in you. And so he came in that redemptive love, and he broke that cycle of dishonor and restored us to honor with God and honor with each other. So as we choose to honor, even when we disagree, or even when we are dishonored or even persecuted, it releases the power of the crucified Christ and the resurrected Son of God in our communities. And that's what we need, amen, above all in this period of COVID-19.
It is so good. So good. That's so powerful. So we choose to honor God, and that's where it begins, and really all other honor flows out of that. And we choose to honor others in the body of Christ, in the household of faith. We choose to honor those that we disagree with, which may be the most challenging. And we choose to honor, then if you'll pick up, Antonio, in verse 1 of chapter 13, because we're talking about honor, and Paul's talking about honor that even goes beyond all of this that we've discussed already.
And we've heard this term, I think, as we've all been talking about honoring and honoring one another, honoring the church, honoring those in the church, outside of the church, honoring God first and foremost. We keep hearing this tension that's going on, and when we consider honoring authority, we have to admit that there's tension today. There's tension between the politicians, the public, and even the pulpit. with regards to the right response to the coronavirus. Some of us want to reopen, and some of us want to shelter in place. Some of us are aware of the disparities in the communities with regards to access to testing or the prevalence of certain demographics to catching the coronavirus, and so we can't ignore those things. And in light of that, as I think this has been said as well today, we have to continue to seek God's wisdom for how do we honor our authorities? How do we honor those that are in authority over us when we may not agree with them, when we may not see eye to eye, when we're so different than them in our views? And so I want to talk about, honoring those in authority, looking as Pastor Wendell just said from Romans 13:1-7. Let me read that. It says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For the rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath unto the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." And so today our theme is we choose honor, and I think this was mentioned earlier too, that we have to choose it. We have to choose to honor, and we have to choose to honor those in authority. We have to choose to honor authority. Paul's opens up by saying, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities." And certainly, after hearing the background of what was going on during that day, this wasn't easy for Paul to write or even to teach, to speak about in his time. And you may recall that when he wrote this letter, times were very difficult. It was a time when immorality was legislated in a place called Corinth. It was a time when just being a professing Christian could get you killed. It was a time when the Roman Empire was running was the ruling authority. And today, as we read this passage, it's not easy for many of us to bear, to hear honor those in authority. It is a time when those that are in authority have legalized abortion, and it's a time when the church is not on the list of essential services. Yeah. And certainly, I think as pastors, we've, at least I have taken a little, even if not liberties, I've kind of like, well, I think we're essential, even if we're not on the list, right? It is a time when a virus called COVID-19 can spread much like a common cold, yet kill young and old alike. And so, this passage of scripture today that we're looking at in Romans, penned by the Apostle Paul, is read as it was then in a tense environment. But at the same time, we must obey God's word. We must honor those in authority, and we must choose to honor those in authority. Just a little bit about this passage as it talks about government. Government authority is ordained by God. It is those who fill the government offices are placed there by God. Those who fill government offices are exercising their roles as God has assigned and designed them to. Those who fill those government offices are officials, and they are to be obeyed by all. And the challenge is when we don't like them, they don't look like us, they don't talk like us, they didn't treat us as we would like them to treat us. But nonetheless, they're there because God has put them in place. In addition to that, order is ordained by God. Anarchy is not of God. government officials are secular servants in the world to maintain order. Government officials are to serve Christians and non-Christians, the disciplined and the undisciplined, the selfish and the unselfish. And government officials are to administer the law to the lawful and to the unlawful. And for those that have had experiences with the law that have not always been pleasant, and certainly we have seen things in the news that have troubled us with the way those that are in law enforcement have treated citizens, and has been a challenge for many in our community. But nonetheless, we are still called to honor those that are in authority. But sometimes we are proud and agree with our government leaders, and sometimes we are afraid and worried about our government leaders. And I think that's the time we are in now. We're not all agreeing with decisions that have been made. We're not all trusting the data that we are receiving. And, you know, there's so much, I think about my children from, you know, 14 all the way up to 23, and they don't watch TV news as much as I would. They, you know, they're on YouTube and all these other social media outlets receiving information and trying to decipher what's real, what's true, yeah, what's right, you know, that's coming from our authorities. Sometimes we are angry and ashamed of our government leaders because they made decisions that hurt us, or they have done things in their own lives that shame us, you know, that we have perhaps behaved immorally. But we should still honor those that are in authority. An old saying that I'm sure you've heard, that if you can't honor the person in office, at least honor the office. And so that is something we have to do as Christians. We have to choose to honor those in authority. I was reminded of Thomas Jefferson, who wrote in the Declaration of Independence, "Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government." And then I was reminded of Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who said, wrote in his Birmingham letter, "One has not only a legal but a moral responsibility to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey just unjust laws." So again, we have this tension that's going on, and I don't think it's going to go away soon as we continue to make decisions as leaders in our community, in our churches, in our government. But we still have the command from God to honor those in authority. We still have to seek God's wisdom from above to honor those to whom honor is due. We still have to obey the command to honor one another, the church, those we agree with, those we don't agree with, those that are in authority over us, because God said to honor them. And as I thought about why, if someone said, "Well, why should I honor those that God put in authority?" Because God put them in authority. And that's what it says in Romans. He puts them in authority, and we have to honor them. Now, let me say this practically speaking. God didn't say we have to vote for them. He said we have to honor them. God didn't say to ignore injustice meted out by them. He said honor them. God didn't say believe every word that comes from them. He said honor them. And so we have to honor them. And how do you do that after I just said that? Well, you honor them by submitting to them because they're in authority. You honor them by the way you talk about them. You know, we have to be careful with that. And we honor them by praying for them. And I think the church, with regards to those in authority, we need to be in prayer for those that are in authority over us. We need to be in deep prayer for them, because we want them, as Scripture tells us, to make decisions that would allow us to continue to worship God in peace. And so I think that's what we all want to do as the church. And so we have to honor those that are in authority. And so that's what we choose honor.
We choose honor. That's probably right now. I get we honor God, you know, choose to honor God. We choose to honor others in the body of Christ. We choose to honor those we disagree with. This one aspect of choosing to honor authority is probably the most challenging right now, and it's the one that it's the tension we're all trying to navigate. Because there have been times in our history, certainly in the history of America, where righteous people had to stand up and push back relative to authority. And I mean, what if the government said you can't meet for another year as a church, but all the data and everything else was supporting the idea that the church should be able to regather and to have worship experiences? Dave, that tension is one that we're having to manage. How do we walk that out with authority right now as it relates to this whole idea of honoring authority, but that may not necessarily mean that we always, you know, have to just roll over.
Yeah, what I would do is I'd call Andy and say, hey, Andy, what are you doing? Because this is complicated. But, you know, one advantage we have as American believers is that I know that sometimes to honor the Constitution, I need to disobey the current government. Because when constitutional freedoms, the underpinning of our nation, when we feel like government is not honoring the Constitution, then we have a moral imperative to stand up and say, but what about the Constitution? And I'm very much convicted that we don't disobey authority because of convenience. I'm tired of staying at home. But we are called to disobey authority out of conscience. This is what Paul says. Not because you're scared you're going to get caught, but because for conscience sake. And I think that's sort of the tension, and I don't think that there's actually a resolution to that. But, you know, what you're saying in this COVID situation, I think we do have to listen to what we may be uncomfortable with that the government is saying. But we also have a great opportunity locally is that we have direct access to those in our public health system. We can say, really, what's going on? How do you track this? How do we make a decision on a local level? And so for I know a lot of us, that's been the discussion, is we want to, as much as we can, obey the government. We always want to honor it. But sometimes we may be called to make a different decision. We're not going to do that because we're irritated or we're uncomfortable. We're going to do that because something on our conscience says this is no longer a valid position. Other evidence shows to the contrary.
I think that's the thing there is the honoring of the Constitution. There may be a point where honoring the Constitution requires the church and God's people to engage in a different way. And, you know, I think it's important for our congregation to know that all of us, certainly along with hundreds of other pastors, are engaging every day with our local leaders, our state leadership, our governor, our national leader, to try to influence honoring the Constitution. Certainly in the civil rights movement, you quoted Martin Luther King Jr., certainly in the civil rights moment, there were times when they stood up. And they knew that there was a constitutional value that needed to be upheld, and that empowered them to. And it's like that. It's not sometimes a problem to be solved as much as a tension to be managed. Verse 14, he says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." I think that's what you were saying, that it's not just out of convenience, because, you know, we're not going to be able to do this honor thing in our own strength. We're not going to be able to just do it naturally. We're going to have to put on Christ. It's going to take supernatural wisdom, insight, direction from the Lord going forward, because we're living in some very sobering times. And as God's people, as leaders, as our churches, we're really going to have to say, Lord, we want to put on Christ so that we honor you and honor every other relationship as we should. And we know that it's not natural. It's going to be supernatural. The wisdom we need isn't natural. It's going to be supernatural. The direction we need, the timing we need, the sense of agreement and community we need, it's going to be supernatural. In the natural, you know, I'm watching the news like all of you. In the natural, in my flesh, I want to go hurt somebody. I'm listening to things. I'm going, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. In my flesh, right? Yeah. In my flesh, I want to go lash out or do something. But it's going to take putting on Jesus Christ, putting on Christ to really walk in this kind of honor. We pray that even in the middle of talking about a pandemic and how we navigate through all of this, if there's someone watching today that doesn't know Jesus as Lord, that God, the season that we're going through, if it would cause them to recognize their need for God, if your Holy Spirit is tugging at their heart today, we pray that they will say yes to Jesus, that they will call upon the name of the Lord, that they will recognize their own need, and that they will believe in their heart, confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, that they'll be saved to the glory of the Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Blessings on my friends, their great churches. Bless them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, friends. Amen. Amen. I love you. I thank God for you. And we're in this together. And God's going to take us forward as His church. And thank you for watching today. We pray blessing on you and your family and all of our congregations that make up part of the body of Christ here in Bakersfield. We pray God's blessing on you this week. Have a great week in Jesus' name.